Friends, welcome to St. David's Cathedral. It's wonderful to have you with us as we gather around our Lord's Word and around His throne of grace. My name is Richard Humphrey. I'm the Dean here, and helping with the service today is Katrina Johnson, our student minister, the Reverend Phil Coughlin from the parish of Burnie, who will do our readings, and Margaret Savage from Anglicare will lead our prayers. You can download the text of the service from the diocesan website, or if you have a prayer book at home, we're doing the second order of morning prayer with a few alterations. As we start our service, let us hear the wonderful words from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the traditional Easter greeting, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of His church. We will lift up our hearts in thanks and praise, hear from God's holy word, and pray for this world and for ourselves. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. The risen Jesus said that the scriptures had been fulfilled in His suffering and resurrection, and now repentance and forgiveness was to be announced in His name to all nations in the power of the Spirit. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need Your help. We have wandered from Your way, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and we have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of Your Spirit, that we may live the new life to Your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to His call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're assured of God's love in the words of Romans chapter 8. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Grace and peace be with you. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His face with songs of joy. As we come to hear God's word read, let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to Your word, may we know You better, love You more, and learn to please You in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The New Testament reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled by His blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The Gospel reading for today comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is my usual prayer before preaching here at the cathedral, and it's nice to do something normal when so much has changed. It's very clear as I look around me. There's no one here. It's the Sunday after Easter, and perhaps for the first time in the history of the cathedral, there are the same number of people here this week as last week. Us preachers have become producers, intercessors have become internet whizzes, we're spending more time on technology than theology. For some of us, that's harder than others. I know, for instance, there are all sorts of interesting things you can do when editing subtitles and graphics on videos, but I don't know how to do that, so I've made some signs of my own to keep us on track. So just in case you missed it, this is the introduction. Things will have changed for you as well. And with these changes can come dislocation and uncertainty, particularly if our identity has been strongly tied to the life that we knew. We want to hold on to what we have and we want to know what the future holds so that we can make decisions on the basis of that as to how we now behave. Our reading from 1 Peter is helpful here, for we find answers to these three questions. We find the answer to, who are we? Secondly, where are we going? And thirdly, what do we do now? And all the answers to these questions of identity, destiny, and activity are centered around the resurrection of Jesus, our living hope. Peter is writing to a mixed group of Christians in what we would now call Turkey, and they are suffering various trials, and Peter is wishing to encourage them. After a fairly normal Christian greeting, Peter starts his letter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter encourages his readers to praise God, not just any God, but the God that they now understand through Jesus, the God who is the God and Father of Jesus. And also, through this Jesus and his resurrection, we, by God, have been given a new birth. When we hear that phrase, new birth, we may think of being born again, an emotional experience of being grasped by God's love in Jesus. Now, this is certainly something to praise God for, but there's actually a much more complex theological idea being expressed here. The Old Testament, that part of the Bible before Jesus, looks forward to a time when God's people, Israel, would be resurrected by God's Spirit. It's an image of renewal, when God would act to transform and restore his people. What the early Christians realized was that in Jesus' resurrection and his giving of the Spirit, this renewal of God's people had taken place. This transformation meant that God's people were no longer defined by natural birth or national boundaries or ethnic origin. God's people had been given new birth in Jesus' resurrection, and it meant it was now open to all who believed in Jesus. Peter has actually been making a similar point in his introduction. He had spoken of his readers as chosen by God, sanctified for obedience, sprinkled with blood. All of these are descriptions of God's people in the Old Testament, particularly at the birth of the nation at Mount Sinai. But now these ideas have been rethought, reimagined, reborn in terms of the Trinity. Chosen by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Peter is using these three images so that this diverse group of scattered Christians will realize who they are. He's asking the, answering the, who are we question. They are the reborn people of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Can there be any greater heritage or dignity than that? It's a dignity that we as believers in Jesus share. I wonder how you think of yourself. How do you define your identity? Perhaps you have a low view of yourself or see yourself as of little significance. Well, because of Jesus' resurrection, we Christians are part of the renewed, reborn, resurrected people of God. God, out of his mercy, has given us new birth. It's not based now on our natural origin, but on his love for us. He has chosen us, cleansed us by the Spirit, and restored us in a relationship to himself through Jesus. He has called us into his family by giving us a new birth, and he's done everything for us. No wonder Peter says that we should praise God. Peter has answered our first question, who are we? But he has also started to deal with the second question, where are we going? We have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Peter expands on this idea of a living hope with two other words. Firstly, an inheritance. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We should note the secure language that's used here: imperishable, undefiled, unfading. My parents in recent years have passed away, and I have received my inheritance, and sad to say, much of it is perishable, defiled, and fading, and it's in the garage gathering dust. And in current circumstances, any inheritance my children may be looking forward to is also fading. But here we have a cast iron guarantee of what is coming. After all, think of this new family that we've been born into, the family of the Creator of heaven and earth. Think of that inheritance. But again, it's picking up Old Testament imagery, the inheritance of the land of Israel, an inheritance which God's chosen people lost, so they lived as strangers scattered amongst the countries, yet longing for their promised land. This is exactly the kind of language which Peter has used of his readers. They are the elect, the true Israel, strangers in the world, scattered. We too have a promised land, and until we get there, we are strangers here. Peter also describes this hope as salvation. A salvation longed for by the prophets and angels, but it is for us, the salvation of our souls. This may sound rather spiritual, but the biblical hope is that God will bring a new creation of which the resurrection is a foretaste. It is the salvation which we pray for when we pray, "Your kingdom come." It is a salvation which God guards us for. Both the idea of inheritance and this idea of salvation point us to God's coming future. Peter encourages this reborn people of God by looking forward. It is that which will keep them and help them through their many trials. Surely that is what we need to do. For many of us, our hope is to have our old life back, but is that really such a hope that will it encourage us? Yes, the current trials will pass, but our old life had its issues and struggles. Perhaps this time of being forced to be at home will help us to truly long for our eternal home and to remember that we are ultimately strangers here. Is that something you ever feel? C.S. Lewis said, "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret? There are better things ahead than any we leave behind." You see, the Christian hope is not about going to an eternal retirement home, but a resurrection home. This then is the hope, an inheritance kept in heaven and salvation of new creation. And it's a living hope because it's not a vague hope, it's not even a promised hope. It is a hope that has already been shown to be true in Jesus. What has happened for Jesus will be our future. It's like the difference between going for surgery with no idea of the outcome and going for the same surgery having met someone who's had it. Jesus is the working model of the salvation that God promises. It works. God will keep his promise. It is a living hope, a hope that is alive as Jesus. This then is our destiny, again closely bound up with the resurrection. Peter then has answered our first two questions. Who are we? We are the children of God by new birth. Where are we going? Our destiny, as seen in Jesus, is to be with God in a new creation. And so we move to our last question. What do we do now? On the basis of that identity and that destiny, what is to be our activity? Well, as we will follow Jesus in the resurrection, so we are to follow him now. And there are two ideas or two areas that come out in this passage. Firstly, there is a call for obedience. We are to be obedient to Jesus in all areas of our life. During the week, you might like to read through 1 Peter and you'll see that discipleship of Jesus covers all areas of our life, family life, work life, relations with the government, and living through trials and suffering. All our activity, especially in times of trial, should be shaped by our identity in Christ and our destiny with Christ. Secondly, and most predominantly in this passage, is the idea of obedience. joy, or rejoicing, praise. Peter's answers to the first two questions should lead to a life characterized by joy. All that Peter has said has been done by God. It is secure. It's in the bank. We've been chosen by God, born anew by God, given an inheritance in heaven by God, shielded by God till the day of salvation. All we need to do is celebrate it. And all this is true despite whatever may be going on around us. This is not a message of rejoice because you are suffering. It's not saying that the trials and difficulties are not painful. They remain a trial. But if we really believe in all that the resurrection carries with it, we can still rejoice in what God has done and what he will do. It is in these difficult times, in times of trial, that our faith will prove genuine. As we remember what God has done for us, we should be blessing our God, giving thanks to him, praising him, rejoicing in him. You may think this all sounds all too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use, but that's not the case. C.S. Lewis again wrote, "If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world are precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of that other world that they have become so ineffective in this." Our living hope is something that is to be lived out. So who are we? We are the reborn children of God. Where are we going? God's promised reborn creation. What do we do now? Rejoice as followers of Jesus. As we heard at the beginning of the service, and as we've heard at the beginning of the sermon, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Friends, if you're somebody who believed in the old Sunday school idea of a memory verse, I encourage you to remember that verse. Make it part of who you are, to remember who you are, where you're going, and how you should live now. Let us celebrate our faith by singing a wonderful hymn of faith. If you can't sing along as you're sitting at home, just listen to the words, read the words, and be affirmed in your faith. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Thank you. Let us together say the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us join together in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks.
Lord our God, you are worthy of honour, glory, and praise. We are thankful that you love us, and that you can take the hardest of circumstances and turn them around for our good and for your glory. You understand our life and our struggles. Thank you that we can entrust the future of our world and ourselves to your safekeeping. Lord, we ask that you would heal the sick and protect those who are not, especially the elderly, the vulnerable, and those working in hospital, medical, and other caring roles. We ask that you provide for people who have lost work, for those who are struggling financially, and for anyone who is suffering from anxiety. Meet their immediate needs. Surround them with people who can help and renew their hope. Lord, we pray for our state and federal leaders. Give them inspiration and courage to meet the needs of the community. Especially give wisdom and insight to all those working to contain the outbreak of the virus in the northwest of our state. We pray for your church, both here and across the world. Keep those in leadership healthy and rested, so they can guide your church at this time. Give them wisdom and the resources they need. And help us all, the people of your church, to display courage, hope, generosity, and kindness. Pour out your grace and strengthen us with your Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers, and you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, our desires and prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal. Amen.
As we commit ourselves to God, eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. If you'd like to know more about the living hope we have in Jesus, please contact us. We'd love to talk with you further, get a Bible to you, or help you to join an online course looking at Jesus in more detail. If you'd like to join us here at the Cathedral for morning prayer or noon prayers, there are details on our website, stdavids.org.au. We usually, at this point, say you're welcome to join us for refreshments, but perhaps you're already having some, having a coffee or donut or a leftover Easter egg you've been having during the service. Perhaps that will become standard church practice when we're able to meet in person. Whatever refreshments you've had, we pray that you have found this service refreshing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we probably should change the normal end of our service to stay at home in peace, to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.